Welcome to Psychology Has It Backwards. This series will question the assumption that people are psychologically broken and need to be fixed. We will talk about how seeing people as innately healthy will change all of your interactions and outcomes. This is a true paradigm shift, and it simplifies the entire process of dealing with mental distress and allows for more profound and immediate changes.
Aloha, and welcome to Psychology Has It Backwards. This is a podcast where we kind of take on and challenge some of the current ways that psychology and the world looks at mental well-being and the ability for human beings to change and grow. And I am lucky to do it with my very, very good friend and brilliantly stunning colleague.
I'm Judy Sedgman. I didn't recognize that second part, but thank you. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Really, I'm so lucky to have her as a friend because she is so articulate. You know, she studies words and language, and it's just amazing to me how she puts words together. She's such a wonderful writer, and I'm so grateful that she's my friend because that helps me out a lot.
And in sum, I'm a nerd.
Yeah. Well, that's a, it's a beautiful, it's beautiful because it's, I think it's not being a nerd. It's really being an artist with words.
Yeah.
You know, yes. You paint pictures with words and you talk with such beautiful words. And I think it's like painting a picture for me anyway. So today, we thought we'd talk a little bit about how what we talk about as the principles are different from a theory, either in psychology or in spirituality or in whatever. People come up with ways of helping people, right? So that there's a, one of my teachers said that it's true that all roads lead to Rome. And he said, but there's two ways on each road, to and away from. And so even though there's like truth in just about anything that helps somebody, and the truth is really what the principles point to, is why something would help you, why cognitive therapy is helpful to people, why AA is helpful to people, why EMDR can be helpful to some people. You know, it's because it's not, the world looks at the technique or the theory or the approach. And what we're looking at is how do human beings function? Mm-hmm. So you see, it's not even in the same world. So a lot of times people will give us a lot of grief because they say, how can you be so sure? How can you be so pure when you talk about these principles? Well, because the principles are the same for everybody all the time. They don't change. That's why they're principles. They work for every human being, no matter what the circumstances, no matter what kind of person it is, no matter what time of day it is. You don't have to have a different cookie cutter for everybody to understand how they work psychologically and how their ability to live in health works within them, even though they might not be seeing it. Mm-hmm. Okay, now you see how that's different than, okay, this theory looks at doing therapy from as a Jungian therapist or as a cognitive behavioral therapist. So we wouldn't need, like, I don't even say I'm a three principles therapist. I am a marriage and family therapist, and I come from my own personal understanding of and truth about how experience is created in people and how people can live in innate health and do. Like I can see health in people that are functioning at really low levels because I can see that. I know that. I know that to be true. So then I can point it out to them. Then they can see it. That's a big difference than looking at somebody as broken and sick. And now I need to help them to manage that or cope with it. You see, it's like just a totally different way of looking at how you do your work. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of people in the world that, and I think the work we've done with another organization kind of, you know, perpetuated this idea that you could be a three principles therapist or a three principles coach or a three principles teacher or whatever it is. But really what we're doing is we're helping people to awaken to how the principles work within them. And then they find their own way in life. They do what works for them. And we don't have thoughts about what works for them. But what we're saying is that understanding these principles is enough. That there's so much to understanding that and then seeing how it works in yourself, seeing how it works in other people, that, I mean, you know, I've been doing this since 1980, December of 1980, and I am still learning. Like, it's fascinating to me to see how this works. Now, that doesn't mean I do the same thing with everybody when they come in that I see them. I do things very differently with people, depending on what they need in the moment that I can see what will help them to find their health. So, I don't know, Judy, you do your wonder with that, but.
Well, you know, that's the key, what you just said, though, to help them to find their health. Mm-hmm. Like, we're not putting health back into them. It's not like they ever lost their health. It's like, fundamentally, what's happening with people is they're thinking, and their thinking looks like reality to them. And if they think that reality is coming at them from the circumstances of their life, they get freaked out if they can't fix the circumstances of their life. So they look for somebody to help them, you know, fix the circumstances or deal with the circumstances or deal with their thinking. And what we say is, no, you just have to see that you're the thinker. And when you look out through your eyeballs at life, you create the experience that you're having of what you're looking at. So some people can look at difficulties with optimism. They can look at difficulties and say, well, yeah, this is a setback, but, you know, I can see my way through this and I just need to step back and stay calm. Or they start reflecting on how they should handle a situation. And other people can look at difficulties and just freak out. And that's within them to see what they see. But people, when I was in graduate school, a lot of what I learned is, well, you know, if this happens, like if you've grown up in poverty, it's inevitable that you're going to have these problems, you know. And then if I would raise my hand and say, well, what about people that grew up in poverty that never really experienced those problems? They came through it and made something of themselves. Well, they're the exception. Well, what explains exceptions? They saw life differently. That's the only thing you can say, is that they never got discouraged in the face of their circumstances. Because it's within all of us to be able to do that. So when people understand that we create our own life from this beautiful gift we have of the power to think. Thinking is a power. It doesn't matter what we think. It's the fact that we are thinking, that we're the thinker. And if we don't like the way we feel, the way we're experiencing our life, our power to think allows us to think again. You know, to step back, to look differently, to calm down, to stay open to new solutions, to look beyond our current situation. That's what people get when they start to see the power to think. The principles describe the power behind everything in the universe, including us. Not limited to us, but including us. And that power is, you know, what we call mind, and what we describe as, what Sid always referred to as, universal mind or divine mind. And when we say that, we're not speaking of a particular figure or image, but we're speaking of whatever it is that propels everything into being that's before us, so we can't describe it. Mm-hmm. And I always tell people, like, you can't, and I've never asked anybody, can you describe the womb, that can describe the womb, because they weren't sentient beings in the womb. They weren't looking around to see where they were. And they weren't forming thoughts. So, no, they can't. But they know they were there. There's nobody says, well, I don't think I was really ever in the womb. You know, people kind of say no. They just go, like, I don't know. I don't know why, but nobody seems to be able to do that. It's probably just as well. Mm-hmm. But that's the idea, is that we can't describe what came before our life and what's coming after this life on Earth, because we don't know that yet. But that doesn't mean that we have to live life as though we're terrified of it. And it doesn't mean that we can't appreciate the gifts that we have to live our life in this world. And that's all, you know, that, and honestly, when we explain this to people, and we don't even have to use the words for the principles to do that, you know, when we explain this to people, and it rings true with them, because it is true, because it's universally true, and, you know, it resonates with people, and in their heart they think, oh yeah, that's right. They can think of when they changed their mind about something, mm-hmm. or when they saw something one way and then five mm-hmm. minutes later they realized, no, I was wrong, it was this other way. Mm-hmm. And they realize that they start to realize that power to think. Mm-hmm. And then when they see that they have that's intrinsic to them, that's their innate well-being, mm-hmm. that's what gives them resilience, then they wake up and they feel more optimistic and joyful about life, and they can make all kinds of choices that wouldn't occur to them in a lower state of mind. Mm-hmm. And that's all it is, really. You know, we say nobody is. Somebody one time, when I was doing a program in high school, there was a kid who raised his hand. He said, do you think I'm crazy? And I said, no. And he said, well, you don't even know me. And I said, well, I don't think anybody's crazy. People have crazy thoughts sometimes, but there's no such thing as being fundamentally crazy. Everybody's the same. We use our thinking to create our reality. And he said, so if I have crazy thoughts, I don't have to have them the rest of my life? He saw that immediately. I said, no. You can have them as long as you feel like it, as long as you want to think about them. But, you know, you're in charge of what you think. You're in charge of how you use your mind. And, you know, it's so simple that people, you know, it's so simple that when people first hear it, they go, it can't be this simple. And then as people look into it, they recognize it's really profound.
Right. And that profound nature of it is what sets this understanding separate from a theory.
Yes.
Because as you go for the depth of it, you see that what you thought about it when you first learned it wasn't it.
Yeah.
Right? But if you stay at that level when you first learn about it, then it becomes a thing. And pretty soon it loses a feeling. And pretty soon you're out searching in the world for something else to make you feel better, or to give you security, or to for somebody to tell you what to do. Like a therapist, a lot of times people come in to see me and they want me to tell them what to do. Yeah. Good God, I have a hard enough time listening to myself, you know, knowing what I should do. Yeah. And thank you, God, by learning this and understanding this, I don't have to know what they do. Because a lot of therapists get very anxious because they don't know for sure, like, if what they're saying is a good thing or not. So because they're kind of making it up. They don't really know, right? But knowing that every human being has at their core this intelligence that is free of our personal insecure thinking. That's kind of the way I think of it. But it's an alive intelligence as opposed to our memory intelligence. That's just like 1 + 1 = 2. That's good. Unless you program it in 1 + 1 = 3, then you're screwed. You're going to have trouble with mathematics for the rest of your life. Because that information, because it's just information. Our intelligence is what allows us to look at that and go, oh, that's not right. 1 + 1 isn't 3. It's 2. I need to change that. I thought wrong about that. And we don't, you know, like run ourselves up the flagpole. We don't beat ourselves up. It's just like, oh, I made an error in my mathematics. Well, we make errors about everything in our thinking, everything. And our wisdom is kind of our ability to cut through all that insecurity and to take whatever we've learned in our memory and that's helped us or has hurt us or has just been information about life and use it in the best way possible. Mm-hmm. So it like whoosh, brings everything simple and common sense. So like I was telling somebody the other day, I said, just listen to your common sense. And they go, well, what's that? You know, like common sense is, in fact, I remember my dad when I was a little girl, we were down in the root cellar in the hotel. I remember the moment in time, clear as a bell. And I said something to him. I don't remember what I said, but he turned and looked at me and goes, what's the matter with you? Don't you have any common sense? And I was like, I remember thinking, I don't know, what's common sense? And, you know, 30 years later, or 25 years later, I got the answer. Like, oh, that's what it is, right? And so knowing that people have that and looking for that and seeing that, you can do that if you're a business executive. You can do that if you're a grocery store clerk. You can do that, you know, like the men that I work with work in, a lot of them are chefs. A lot of them are construction workers. Most of them are skilled manual labor kinds of things. And when they start to tell stories about how this person came into work and they were all nuha, it's a Hawaiian word that's angry, and, you know, and I just told them, you know, just have a good day, brother. You're taking this entirely too seriously. Like, wow, that's a gift. You know, that's a beautiful thing. In the past, he would have taken it personally and gotten in a beef, you know, and probably beat him up. You know, like that's a huge change for a person. Yeah. It doesn't mean that you have to memorize the three principles are and they work in your life like this. It's not the point. The point is of understanding the principles is to see how you work, how you function, and how to create a beautiful life from your own wisdom.
Yeah, and how to not make it about other people.
Yes.
You know, because we tend to do that. We always, you know, we're kind of taught to do that, to think about it in school. We're, you know, we study experts and we're told about the brilliant philosophers and brilliant historians and brilliant politicians and brilliant people. And we read about their great ideas and we think, oh, there's so many people in the world smarter than me. We kind of get that information. And the truth is that you're the expert on your own life. And when you're in a calm state of mind and when you understand, if you don't know something, you just have to let your mind wander into the unknown, leave it clear your head, you'll know it. You'll know what you need to know when you need to know it. Mm-hmm. And just have the confidence that you can count on your own common sense and wisdom to guide you through life. Mm-hmm. Because we were born with this innate resilience, these qualities that allow us to thrive and survive. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, that like Chris works with violent offenders that are men. I used to work with the women who were married to such men. I worked in a women's center. And I was at the other end of that experience with women who didn't, you know, should I divorce my husband? What am I going to do to keep the children safe? And they would be frantic and freaked out. And, you know, I would say, look, I can't tell you what to do. I can't. It's your life. But I can tell you that when you're frantic and freaked out, you won't get any new ideas. So I can help you to calm down. I can help you to find your own wisdom. And I can assure you that you can find your way. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was very reassuring to people because nobody can, you can't have a counselor that you go to like every week to ask them, what should I do now? What should I do now? Mm-hmm. Unless you have an awful lot of money, that's not going to work out for life. And so what you want is to learn enough about your own well-being and your own functioning that you start to get confident that, oh yeah, we're all plugged into this wisdom, this thinking out of the blue, the ideas that come to us when we need them. And once we gain confidence in that, we don't have to worry. Mm-hmm. I really am. It's such a blessing to me that I go through my life and I never, if I don't know what to do, I don't worry about it. Mm-hmm. I don't call six friends and say, what should I do about this? And why are these people doing that? I just know that if I get quiet and wait, I'll see what to do. And I always do. And sometimes it comes in the form of, I thought I was going to do one thing and then something tells me, don't do that, do something else. Mm-hmm. And that something feels like a wise idea when it comes to me. It comes to me with a level of certainty. And I go, okay, I've just learned to go with it. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, go ahead.
You know, I was just thinking as you were talking, and, you know, the thing is, as you go through life, you go through life and you go to church and listen to your minister, or you go to a university talk and you hear people talking about some new thing they're noticing. And the thing you have to remember is whatever you see is about you. Mm-hmm. It's not about them, right, or what they're saying to you. And I don't care who it is, Sydney Banks or Christine Heath or Judith Sedgman. Like, if you're getting something out of these podcasts, it's not because of us. We don't even know you. But you're getting that from yourself. And as you awaken to how the principles work, or how your common sense works, how wisdom works within you, you get insights because of what you know. It's not because of somebody else and how loving they were with you. I had one of my friends told me, she said, well, we just love people so much that that's what changes them. And that's just as outside in as anything else. It's nice because it's sweet. You have a good feeling and it's a good thing to be loving. But the truth is that if you think that you being loving with somebody is going to change them, you got another story to tell, because every mother in the world would have been successful.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, like, you got to deal, each individual person has to wake up, and being loving with them sometimes is being forthright. Sometimes it's being very stern. Sometimes, but it will come from a place of security in you. Mm-hmm. And that is very tricky, how we get turned around in the world because of all the theories we have and all the stuff we've made up because we didn't understand these principles. Mm-hmm. So we did our best to try to figure out what changes people. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, and one of the things that we teach people is, you as a therapist, you got to be in a good feeling. You got to come from a loving place. Mm-hmm. Well, that's just because you set a better tone in the session, but it's still a crapshoot whether the person's going to hear something or not. You cannot control that. That's up to each person. Sydney Banks said in Second Chance, he said that different people are at different states of evolution. Some people wake up a little bit, some people wake up a lot. But it's not on your hands. All you can do is point in the direction and be in the best feeling you can, live what you're talking about so it's alive and fresh for you. And then, if you're lucky, they'll hear something. If not, they'll have a nice session with you and they'll feel grateful just for the time you spent with them, or whatever they learn that's a little bit from that. But that's really, really important that, you know, it's like the answer is in love. And we have lots of thoughts about what that looks like.
Yes, we do.
And so, you know, it's just the power of thought is unbelievable. So while we're so focused on keeping these principles pure and not mixing it up with things that look like it's outside in, it hopefully people, somebody will go deeper with that. They'll say, oh, I had thinking about the principles and I lost my feeling and I didn't look like the principles were helping me. Yeah, true. The principles are not helping you. They're creating that good experience and they're creating the bad one. They're not a tool to use. They're not something to do. They are you. And that's just how it works. So you can call it whatever you want to. But going back and seeing that that's what you are and that you have the answers is a great empowerment. But it's also the good news and the bad news, right? The good news is it's you living your life. The bad news is it's you living your life. Nobody else can tell you how it should be done. But you know.
But you know. And you have better ideas about it. The calmer and quieter you are, and the more you have faith in the ability to think and think again and think fresh thoughts. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's really what it comes to, is that when you see, I mean, I know for a fact, for certain, deep down inside, as certain can be, that anything I think is something I made up. And it may or may not reflect what's really happening. Sometimes it's closer and sometimes it's not.
Right.
But I also know that when I think my way into a low mood, all I've done is just entertained a lot of negative thoughts about something, and I really could have been thinking anything. And somebody else could be looking at the same thing and having a whole different thought about it. Mm-hmm. And it keeps you from getting at cross purposes with people, because you know, it's kind of hard to get angry when you realize, well, that person just sees things differently.
Yeah.
You know, and they see it differently and I see it differently, and that's okay. Everybody has their own thoughts.
Right.
But when everybody knows it's their own thoughts, this is why we talk about this being an instrument of peace. Because when I know the power of thought and I know how real my thoughts look to me when I'm thinking them, and I know that's true for everybody. If somebody is mad at me and they disagree with me, I just realize it's their thoughts and they're in a low mood and their thoughts are looking very big and important to them right now. And to the degree that we see it deeper and deeper, thoughts look more and more like a movie. You know, it's like life is, you're playing the movie of life as you go along. And if you don't like the scenes, you just close your eyes for a minute and open them again. There's a new movie, new scene. And honestly, it's why I say it's profound, is because it makes a profound difference to people to be in charge of their own self, to not have to have not have to depend on, like when people get all upset because they're a parent died and I asked my mother everything. She told me everything to do. Now I don't know what to do. Well, they do. They know what to do, but they've never exercised that freedom to see for themselves, because their mom was always stooping right up to the plate to tell them what to do.
That's right. That's right. Well, that happens too with clients,
yeah.
You know, because they start feeling better. And like the guys in the group will say, oh, this group is the thing that really helped me. And then, or you guys are really helping me. And we are quick to say, we are not helping you. Because I'll tell you, if I got to take responsibility for people that are getting better, I also have to take responsibility for people that aren't. And I do not want to take responsibility for that, because I can't control it. Right. And it's like, they always go, I know you're going to tell me it's me, but really it was you.
Yeah,
and you know, you got to watch your ego too, because you know, when people tell you that, it's really easy to say, oh yes, aren't I great, oh yes, I'm so happy I helped you, because you are happy you helped them, and yeah, that is part of your ego to help people. But you just got to remember that it's not about you, because it'll subtly turn into insecurity, because now you have to make people do things. I was talking to somebody that issue, so I'm trying to get this person to quiet their mind. No, you cannot get anybody to quiet their mind. If you could, I'd be rich and this would be a different place. Right? Well, we can't fix other people, and that's what makes this understanding so difficult, because people want to get it out, and so they'll compromise what they are understand about the principles to appeal to someone's intellect, and thinking that if we could just get them to see the logic in it or the intellectual understanding of it, that they'll go to the deeper spiritual understanding and see the formless nature of the principles. But it doesn't work that way, folks.
No.
You got to go there to a good feeling, to being in a better state of mind, and then you'll see it.
Yes.
And they'll see it.
And I would say the only thing that we're really responsible for is that if we remain calm and optimistic and faithful to the health of the people we're talking to, they can see it more clearly. We see it, so they see it.
Now sometimes people are going a million miles an hour, you know, and you might have to tell them, okay, I want you to go down to the beach and watch the waves for a half an hour a day. I mean, I've done all kinds of things that I know are getting people to go in the direction of being in a healthier state of mind, because I'll do whatever it takes to help somebody feel better. That's different than not understanding how feeling better comes, where it comes from.
Right.
So as long as I know that's coming from within them, whatever I do to get them to go there is going to come from my wisdom in the moment with that person. I may never say it again to another person.
That's right.
In fact, I may tell other people, my students, what are you doing that for? That's not good. Don't be doing that. Well, you know, the truth is that we have the ability to be very creative, but that's just with that deeper understanding.
So with that, we have kind of taken up another podcast.
Yes. And the other thing I just wanted to add is that Judy has a bunch of new videos on her YouTube channel. And she's got one that she talks about spirituality and practicality, I think, which kind of inspired us to do this. So if you're interested in those, you might want to check those videos out. They're pretty amazing. I love them.
Thank you, Chris. That's really sweet.
Aloha, everybody.
Yeah, we'll see you next time.
We hope you heard something new and that you will continue to join us to challenge the prevailing thinking about the possibilities for health in everyone. To subscribe to the podcast, visit our website at psychologyhasitbackwards.com.